We're here at the Cardinal Caravan with ISU head baseball coach Bo Dirkak. What is it like for you to watch Paul DeJong received by this room full of people when, you know, you have, of course, the memories still are vivid of him at Duffy Bass Field?
It's just unbelievable. Like, it's got to be kind of surreal for him. It's surreal for me to see a guy that you recruited and you coached and you watch him grow from a nice high school player into a unbelievable college player, runner-up for Rookie of the Year 2 years out of college. It's just unbelievable to see his growth as a baseball player. I don't want to say it's not surprising, because I know what the competition's like to make it just to get to the big leagues, let alone to have success at the big leagues. But Paul is so grounded, he's so bright, he's so coachable, he's so willing to learn, that when he does have success, it really isn't all that surprising.
Well, I think part of the surprise, if you want to call it that, is just the fact that Paul was a good player in college. His last year, he sort of blossomed. The power came all of a sudden. He hit 14 home runs. At one point, he was actually tied for the lead in home runs in the NCAA at Division I. But it's the accelerated pace at which he got to where he is now. It all happened so fast.
It really did. I mean, look, the whole history of baseball is full of fourth-round draft picks that never got out of Class A ball. And for Paul to be in Peoria, you know, started out in low-level rookie ball down in the Appalachian League and tore that up. Then went to Peoria, had immediate success there, had immediate success in Double A. We were down there in 2016 when we were down there playing the Missouri State team, because they share that park down there with the Springfield Cardinals. And we had a day game with Missouri State, and that night Paul played. So Paul was in Double A in 2016 and not anywhere near the big leagues at that point. But then he goes out there and hits that home run in Colorado, and they tried to send him back down for 3 or 4 days, and he got back up against it. I'm done with the minors. I want to be a big leaguer now. So it's just been awesome to watch.
It's like I've talked to some other people about Paul, and that is at the beginning of last season, he was at the AAA level. He wanted to have a good year at AAA, but he was blocked at the major league level by Aledmys Diaz, who had had a very good year before the year before, mm-hmm. and was viewed as a long-term shortstop for the Cardinals. All of a sudden, Diaz stops performing. They throw Paul in there. It wasn't really the way they planned it or the way he planned it.
Well, again, that's a testament to the Cardinals farm system, that you can have what you think is your shortstop of the future. And Diaz, he struggles for a little bit, and they got a guy like Paul DeJong waiting in the wings. That's why the Cardinals are such a good team year in and year out, is because they don't sell their soul to the free agent market. Mm-hmm. They do it through the farm system. So when they lose a guy, they don't have to go out and spend $12 million on a shortstop. They got a guy that has all the makings of a big league superstar. They called him up from AAA. He stayed and ended up being runner-up for Rookie of the Year.
Now, one of the things I think he's benefited from, and I know you'll agree, is his versatility, because the Cardinals could have probably plugged him in into any one of maybe four spots. He even caught for you at ISU.
He did. You know, we had his last year with us. He caught. He played second. He played third. We actually had him a game in right field. Versatility is huge in baseball, especially with in the National League, when you have so many pitching changes and you're trying to play the matchup game. Anybody that can play three or four different positions is huge for a manager. It gives them a lot more flexibility. So the fact that Paul could easily have played second or third at the big league level, shortstop's a different animal, let's be honest. But Paul is so steady with his hands. He's not the flashiest. He's not anywhere near an Ozzie Smith type guy, but he makes all the routine plays. When he hit 25 home runs, most managers in the big leagues will take that for their shortstop.
Well, and that versatility, we're here in the offseason, it not only benefits the manager, but it benefits the front office, because you look at the Cardinals, and with players like DeJong and Matt Carpenter, who can play at different positions, if you need a bat, you don't necessarily have to be pigeonholed into a specific position that you need to trade for.
That's exactly right. And again, that's the beauty of what the Cardinals do, is they realize that they don't have, if they miss out on Giancarlo Stanton, if they get Ozuna, who's not Stanton, but he's still not a bad player, that's good. They have enough flexibility with their entire organization. They don't have to just sink all their chips into one guy, and if they don't get that guy, now they're decimated. They use that versatility to stock their farm system and their big league roster.
All right, I want to talk to you about, let's go back to Paul's senior year. And he wasn't a home run hitter for you, really, until that year. So what changes did you guys make together that started him onto this path as a power hitter?
You know, our park is not a hitter-friendly park in terms of power. We've had a lot of talented hitters come through our program over the years that never hit a lot of home runs, just because it's the way the wind blows, mm-hmm. it's cold. You know, we play a lot of southern schools where the ball jumps, and I always wonder if Paul DeJong would have played in a southern school, he might hit 20 home runs his last year with us. But anyway, People ask me, what credit can you take with Paul DeJong? And the answer is really none. You know, I was the recruiting coordinator when we recruited him, so I got credit for, you know, getting him to commit to Illinois State. But when he was here, Paul's credit goes to him. Like everybody knows, he's got that classic swing that produces a lot of power from not a big guy. The one thing that we did impress upon him was the importance of strength. And when you have a clean, fundamentally sound swing, and you combine that with good, lean muscle mass and strength, what you get is a guy that hits 25 home runs from a shortstop position. You know, lots of guys on the corners, first, third, left, right, DH, will hit 25 home runs. You don't see too many shortstops do that. And that's a testament, again, to Paul's work ethic, getting stronger, and keeping that fundamentally sound swing he has.
And when I watch him, he's very quiet at the plate. There's not a lot going on there till he swings. And then when he does swing, that bat is very level. He's the kind of guy that if it's not a home run, it's probably going to be a gap shot, a double, that sort of thing. You don't see him pop up a lot.
No. Well, it's funny that we have video of him from his freshman fall, and I've shown it to recruits and at camps where we talk about the importance of strength. He's swinging a wood bat as an 18-year-old freshman, and it looked like the bat was swinging him. He just was not a physical guy. But then you fast forward 2.5 years later, we have video of him hitting a grand slam against Illinois on our field, and it's almost the exact same swing you see on TV today. So you're right, it's a very quiet swing. He doesn't need to have a lot of movement to generate power, and he's got a beautiful on-plane swing that you say is level. That's right on. It's flat through the zone. He's able to hit the ball hard all fields, and you see how many home runs he hits to dead center and to right center field. Again, you don't see shortstops, very many guys other than Alex Rodriguez and Derek Jeter doing that. So that's the kind of power Paul has.
When he walked in here today into the facility and he saw ISU and yourself and the fans who saw him play at Duffy Bass Field, he lit up. He's very proud of being a Redbird.
He is, you know, and again, we're proud of him. It's a mutually beneficial agreement. There's no doubt about it because, you know, he wouldn't have been where he is today without us recruiting him, and we wouldn't have had success on the field for 3 or 4 years when he was here without him. So he's a very humble guy, let's be honest. This stuff is not beneath him. You know, there are a lot of guys that get their first taste of the big leagues and they want the fame and the fortune and they don't want to be bothered with little stuff like this, but this is not beneath Paul. Beth comes from a great family, and he's a very humble guy who appreciates everything he's done to this point.
All right, you guys are going to get going pretty soon. I know it's middle of January, yeah. But colleges get started, notoriously early. So what does your schedule look like for the ISU baseball team here moving forward?
It's hard to believe that we're talking about baseball when it's, 10 degrees outside.
Is it 10 degrees?
Barely. We actually have some snow coming in on Monday, and that's our first official practice, believe it or not.
Fabulous.
So we start on January 15th, and we play our first game on February 16th. So we got about a month to get our boys ready to go. We open up at Arkansas State, which is down there in Jonesboro on the northeast corner of Arkansas. And then we play our normal 50-some-odd game schedule. And we're trying to build on the momentum we had last year with a good run we had in the conference tournament.
Well, good luck to you, and thanks for being with us here.
All right, Mark, appreciate it.
Bo Durkak, the head coach of the ISU baseball team, back with more on WJBC right after this.